The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
She put country over party, and Joe, she paid for it politically.
If somebody listening to that speech and listening to those words thinks that Liz Cheney is being melodramatic, well, they aren't having the conversations I'm having with friends.
Yeah.
And I had two conversations yesterday, one with a family member and one with a Washington fixture since the days of Ronald Reagan. The Washington fixture, a guy who I always considered to be a mainstream conservative, said to me, and I wrote it down, Joe, we can replace the U.S. government. That is the depths to which that this cancer has spread among mainstream Republicans. Liz Cheney's right. These people are angry and they want to destroy our country, the country where we have democratic elections and the winners who get the most votes are recognized as the winners and the losers concede to those winners. And Donald Trump has changed all of that.
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say this is potentially as dangerous a moment for this country as we've seen at any time since the middle of the 19th century in the run-up to the Civil War.
So democracy just utterly destroys Liz Cheney. And the big takeaway on Morning Joe is that democracy is being destroyed. That's the lesson. Democracy is dying. It's a greater threat now than the Civil War because of this. This is a massive red wave. And there you see the hysterical reaction, these propagandists in the media that cannot understand how ordinary Americans could possibly think that, hey, we can actually replace you through democratic means. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. To get to our very own live video stream of this show, just go to our website. That would be thetrumpet.com. You can type in thetrumpet.com/live to take you direct to the page. Together with the live stream, you can get the podcasts that are posted there after the fact. If you need to catch up on some of your TD viewing, if you'd like to request some of the literature we plug on this show, we've got an open 800 number line for those of you living in the United States and Canada. It's a free call. That's 1-866-930-3024. And of course, to email the show, just send us a note to td@thetrumpet.com. First of all, it wasn't but 2 seconds ago that these same talking heads viewed Dick Cheney and the Cheney family. I mean, this was like Satan's family. Dick Cheney left office, 2008? He left his position as vice president with a 13% approval rating. And that's about what we saw last night. The difference is, a few years back, he was public enemy number one. Now, this is royalty, according to Joe Scarborough. Now, this is like the first family. This is the ruling elites that have stood up and done it in a courageous way. They stood up against the bad orange man. Quite a few tweets, by the way, going out last night about how that Donald Trump basically, he's basically gotten the Bush family out of politics, now the Cheney family, the Clintons. It's astounding, really. Just a real estate man comes out of nowhere in 2016. And look at the dynasties he's been able to take down. There's just the Obama-Biden people left. That's coming. Here's another prominent family. I think people were tweeting out it's maybe the first time in 50 years when you're not going to have a Bush or a Cheney or a Clinton in government. And as far as the people's voice, people speaking, what could be louder? What message could come through more clearly than what came through in Wyoming last night? Were it not for the fact that 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 Democrats switched over to vote for Liz Cheney. She only won the two counties that had the most Democrats. It really, this 37-38 point victory for Hageman, it's probably more like 50 points. It's stunning. I mean, Cheney was just throttled start to finish. This was from her concession speech, if you can even call it that. I don't know if she actually conceded. She certainly didn't throw her weight of support behind the other one, who's a Republican, by the way. This was just a Republican primary. Generally, you concede and say, all right, let's rally the party and make sure the Republican wins. But instead, she's crying out that democracy's being destroyed and she's got to stay in this fight. The goal, the objective... Her father said as much in the promo that he put together for her. The goal, never mind inflation, never mind the wide open border, never mind the drugs pouring into the United States, never mind the humiliation of Afghanistan, none of that. It's just Donald Trump. She campaigned on destroying Donald Trump. And the people have spoken. I guess, you know, following on what we discussed yesterday, I guess there's quite a few people who aren't actually exhausted by the fight against these communists, these insurrectionists. Some commentators are saying, yeah, I think Americans are tired. They're tired of fighting. I think they're exhausted. I think they're ready to move on from Trump. Well, try telling that to the people of Wyoming or Arizona. It's a massive red wave. And they know they can't win through democratic means. So these are actually agents of destruction working to destroy the democracy that the founders set up. The democratic means that you're voted into office. 66.3% to 28.9%. That's worse than a loss. That is some kind of crushing defeat for the Cheney family. What a statement made by the people of Wyoming. This Harriet Hageman, she didn't have any money. Cheney's got all the establishment bucks. Millions and millions of dollars. And by the way, in the 5.5 years she's been in Congress, her net worth has doubled from $7 million to $14 million. But we'll leave that aside. She's gotten rich working in the swamp, richer at least. And the people have said, we want someone else. We're going to vote for the no name. We're going to vote for the one that didn't even have any money. She just had, guess what she had? She had the support of Donald John Trump. That's it. That's all she had to go on. Listen to this from Liz Cheney last night. This was her... Again, she can't give a statement without throwing Donald Trump in there. She's obsessed. This is clip one.
2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the vote. I could easily have done the same again. The path was clear. But it would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election. It would have required that I enable his ongoing efforts to unravel our democratic system and attack the foundations of our republic. That was a path I could not and would not take.
Well, you went along with the Democrats' lie that Donald Trump stole the election of 2016. Did you say anything? Hillary said he was illegitimate. All the Obama people, prominent members of Congress, did you speak? I think you came into Congress the following year, did you not? What were you saying in 2017 when all of those prominent Democrats were saying that Donald Trump stole it? Did you stand against it or did you go along with the lie? Because it's been proven to be a demonstrable lie. But here's where she draws a line. It's anything, all things Trump. That's all that it ever is. And the people have said, we're sick of it. We're sick of the attacks on Donald Trump. We're sick of the FBI raids against Trump and his associates. We're sick of all the special investigations. We're sick of how Hillary and Obama and Clinton and all of them are getting away with crimes right in front of us in broad daylight. A 50-point victory? I mean, that's overwhelming. It's coming from her home state that she doesn't really live in, but you can let that go as well, I suppose. But here she is last night. Some kind of concession. Here's clip number two.
The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our union.
Are you thinking about running for president?
That's a decision that I'm going to make in the coming months, Savannah. I'm not going to make any announcements here this morning, but it is something that I'm thinking about, and I'll make a decision in the coming months.
Because the first thing that you think about when you get absolutely shellacked in a congressional race is, I think I'll run for president. After all, Lincoln lost. He lost a time or two, and then he saved the union. Then he came back and he saved the country. This is the way these people see themselves. By destroying Donald Trump, they think they're saving the United States. Well, what about the people's voice? No, no, no. Those are anti-democratic voices. Well, she lost by 50 points. That's not democracy in action. That's democracy in darkness. These are anti-democratic forces. They all sprung from January 6th. And that's what we've got to fight against. Joe Scarborough says it's like a cancer. It's a cancer for ordinary Americans to say, yeah, we can replace you. You work for us. You're supposed to be working for the people. That's the message that Donald Trump came out with as soon as he came down the escalator. I work for you, the people. I'll play the clips in just a moment. But I used to be an insider. I was one of them. Now, I know how the system works. He came down that escalator, and they knew, as soon as the people started listening to him, that it wasn't enough to try to beat him at the ballot box. You have to destroy him, and you have to destroy his supporters. She said in that first clip that we just played that 2 years, think about what's happened in just a 2 year window. She got 73%. 73% of the vote just 2 years ago in her Republican primary race. And then last night, she couldn't even break 30%. She probably didn't break 20% were it not for Democrats swinging over to try to help her to victory. How do you explain a monumental shift such as this? You explain it in two words, Donald Trump. And you see why. You see why that they say he must be destroyed. She has said as much. This is a quote from Cheney. I will do everything I can to make sure the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. That's from the woman that's probably never again going to get anywhere near the House of Representatives. I think Donald Trump talked about her descending into political oblivion. And really, again, he's almost sounding more statesmanlike every day, saying that she ought to be ashamed of herself. And good for the people of Wyoming. Somehow you have to think that the people of Wyoming would look at a statement coming from Mar-a-Lago and say, yeah, I agree with that. She goes and doubles her wealth in just 5.5 years' time. She rarely visits the state. She's on the sham of a committee. She's persecuting a former president of the United States. And they just voted her out overwhelmingly. 2 years ago, she pulls in 73%. And last night, what, 20, 25% or so? There was a tweet from Mike Pence today. He desperately wants to remain relevant in the party. He talked about how that his party, hey, we've got to stop attacking the FBI. Can you believe this? He said, that's not like our party. This is from the Washington Examiner. It says, former VP Mike Pence had a clear message to his fellow Republicans. Stop attacking rank and file FBI personnel. Anywhere in this message, did he ever say that the FBI should stop attacking Donald Trump? Or that they should stop attacking ordinary Americans? That they should maybe reduce the size of this January 6 investigation to where, okay, we've arrested 900 people. I think that's enough. No, it continues. It's not enough to win an election. Of course, they can't do that either, but you've got to go forward and destroy this movement. This is quoting Pence. He says, our party stands with the men and women who stand on the thin blue line of the federal, state, and local levels. These attacks on the FBI must stop. What about the FBI attacks on just ordinary, law-abiding U.S. citizens? You remember the case, the Michigan kidnapping case of Gretchen Whitmer. Tucker got into this last night and actually played that clip of Whitmer saying, we're going to come after you. There was a plot to kidnap me and to murder me, this governor said. And now we know it's coming out in court because there's actually cross-examination. Now we know that the FBI this is all coming out even as a lot of Americans are calling into question the credibility of the FBI because of Mar-a-Lago, because of the raid last Monday. And now, a couple, 3 months ago, a Michigan court says, no, these guys are not guilty. They were entrapped by the FBI in this hoax, this kidnapping hoax. And for two others, it was a mistrial. And the FBI had egg on its face. But instead of saying, hey, maybe we should just turn and go away quietly, the FBI said, no, we're going to double down. We're going to take this mistrial right back to court. And in doing that, they're being exposed. They're being exposed. Listen to Julie Kelly. She was on with Steve Bannon the other day. This is clip 7.
Well, I'm thinking that Merrick Garland in the DOJ is really regretting their decision to re-prosecute the two men who a jury could not reach a verdict on in April. Two men were outright acquitted after their defense attorneys convinced the jury that they had been entrapped by the FBI. Two men had a hung jury. DOJ immediately came back and said they're going to retry these men. Their timing could not be worse, because not only is the DOJ's credibility imploding, certainly the FBI's is. And of course, as you know, Steve, as we've talked about, the entire Whitmer Fednapping hoax was concocted and executed by the FBI using at least a dozen undercover agents and informants working out of numerous field offices across the country to put this scheme together, to stitch this group together for the sole purpose of creating negative, damaging headlines for Donald Trump in October of 2020 while millions of Americans were voting for president.
October of 2020. This was the big October surprise that the Democrats sprung on the America First movement. You had as many as 12 FBI agents, as she said, they're stitching together this right-wing group, or even creating organizations on Facebook and then trying to recruit just ordinary Americans and trying to encourage them to go and kidnap a governor. And you've heard some of these details before on this show, how that the field agent, or rather the one that was over the Detroit office, then he was later moved to Washington, D.C. office just before the January 6th insurrection. Can you believe this? We now know that the kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer was a complete and total hoax, or the only thing that was real about it is that the FBI planned it. And it's right before a presidential election. The FBI did this. And now this happens at the same time that big tech, big media were covering up the Hunter laptop. This is what they were doing to try to take down the bad orange man. But thankfully, the election itself was perfect. No stealing, cheating, anything like that. They can never do something like that. Look at the other things they were doing. And just do a little bit of simple math. 2 plus 2. And it's all beginning to fit, isn't it? It's all coming together. The attack. The attack is being exposed. The real insurrection is being exposed. Tucker Carlson's going through some of the details of what's being exposed in this Michigan court this week. It's happening right now. Listen to what he had to say last night. Clip 3.
In all, the FBI, with Chambers as the handler, paid Chapel, Big Dan, more than $60,000 in the course of just a few months. Today, Chapel testified that he made more money working for the FBI in 7 months than he did working for the United States Postal Service over the course of an entire year. So there's a lot of money moving from the FBI, the Federal Treasury, to this informant. So the FBI told Chapel that in exchange for all of that money, he needed to start assembling a group of right-wing extremists for the FBI to prosecute. They made the whole thing up. And he did that with the FBI's help. Within a few weeks, the FBI created a new Facebook group called Patriot 3%ers. This is why you should be careful of Facebook, by the way. Oh, it's just this group. It looks interesting. Yeah, okay.
They created this right-wing group, the Patriot 3%ers. And they were trying to recruit people that were supportive of Donald Trump's campaign or just conservatism or traditional values, whatever it was. And they were paying their informants, in one case, $60,000 in 1 year, coming out of the Federal Treasury. You as a U.S. taxpayer, paying for this setup, paying for, and two juries, or maybe it was in the same case, but in any event, a jury found that two of them, the two that were acquitted, were entrapped by the FBI. And you've got Mike Pence now, to say nothing of what Garland said last week and all the others, that how dare you criticize the FBI. Now Mike Pence, he doesn't criticize the raid on Donald Trump's compound. He criticizes you if you criticize the FBI. If you talk about defunding the FBI, listen to clip 4.
Ultimately, in August of 2020, the group started to splinter. Chapel and other informants were instructed to keep the group together. No! Keep it together! Keep the threat real! So they introduced another undercover agent who pretended to be an explosives expert. He showed the group a video of a bomb that blew up a vehicle to prove he knew what he was doing. Where'd that video come from? Well, it was made by the FBI. Is this shaking your confidence a little bit? These details are real, by the way. They came out at trial. Then the Bureau recruited a convicted felon and a longtime FBI informant called Stephen Robson to introduce a new idea to Fox, as well as to Barry Croft. This time, the idea was to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. Robson, with the FBI's money, organized several events, including a national militia conference in Ohio, training in Wisconsin, and a meeting in Delaware. FBI orchestrating all of this.
The FBI orchestrating everything. And it's being exposed in a court of law. It's interesting, the things we find out. If you get out of the D.C. swamp, where they're trying all of these January 6th protesters, chances are you're going to get a fairer-minded judge and jury. And that's what we're seeing in Michigan. A couple more clips from Tucker. This is number 5.
So clearly, they said it emphatically, out loud, explicitly, these are people who are not interested in kidnapping Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. But the FBI kept pushing. The FBI informants drove the defendants to Gretchen Whitmer's home. Then they suggested killing the governor of Virginia, also a Democrat. On September 5th, 2020, FBI Special Agent Jason Chambers texted Chapel, quote, "Mission is to kill the governor specifically." What country is this?
It's all these FBI agents saying, "Hey, we're here to kidnap her. We're here to murder so-and-so. We'll give you $60,000. Well, yeah, thanks, but the group's breaking apart. We'll try to put it back together. We got to keep this together. This is October, after all. We've got an election next month. This was just a month before the election and a few months before January 6th. And during that time, in the middle, you've got the supervisor over the Detroit office, the FBI agency, in locally, they're in Detroit. He's transferred to the D.C. office ahead of January 6th. The last one here is clip 6.
There are still questions about the FBI's behavior on and around January 6th. And given what happened in Michigan, where we know beyond question that the FBI tried to create an act of terror, it's fair to ask what exactly did happen on January 6th? And why is the FBI still hiding footage, critically, of the person who planted a pipe bomb outside the DNC on January 6th, while Kamala Harris was apparently inside, something that she lied about for months? What exactly is going on here?
And really, the only reporter that even goes there, the pipe bomb and what the FBI is covering up with that, is Darren Beatty over at Revolver News. I think he might have been on Tucker last night as well. Maybe at Steve Bannon's from time to time, but the propagandists in the media, they just won't go there. Meanwhile, you've got Liz Cheney and this communist committee going after all things Trump over January 6th. She's responsible. She's like the spokesperson for this committee. And she knows. She knows that there's footage being withheld, whether it's the pipe bomb or just the 14,000 hours of footage from the Capitol. She's covering all of that up. And then getting up last night, after getting absolutely shellacked, and saying, hey, my situation's not really that much different from Abraham Lincoln or Ulysses S. Grant. Just delusional reasoning and thinking. This is Trump derangement syndrome on steroids. This is really a Trump derangement world that these liars and deceivers are trying to create. And more people are saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. 75% to 25, a 50-point shellacking. It just happened in Wyoming. It happened 2 weeks earlier in Arizona. The victory for Kerry Lake wasn't quite as big, so they tried to steal it. And they delayed 3 days. They couldn't quite do that. When you're losing 70 to 30, you can't very well cover that up. I think they called it just 7% of the precincts were reporting. And the Wyoming official said, I think Hageman's going to win this one. Didn't take him that long last night. That's how overwhelming this was. And so what are we left with? If you're these communist insurrectionists, these infiltrators, well, Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, he talked about how that the COVID narrative is crumbling. They just don't have that. I think the first lady just got it. The fake first lady, I mean. You had Joe Biden, he had it twice, just recently. Then Jill Biden gets it. I think Anthony Bourla, he's the Pfizer CEO, he now has the COVID. He's gotten the 4 jabs as well. He assured us, like Fauci, you get these jabs, you're not going to get the COVID. Bourla has the COVID. There you go. So the whole narrative is crumbling. The CDC has had to come out and change the guidelines to basically take it back to pre-2020. So what are they left with? No COVID. Can't beat Donald Trump in a free and fair election. So what do we have left? All that we can do is destroy him. Destroy him. And so that's what was motivating this raid that happened just last week, ransacking Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. And you've seen all these reports about how that Merrick Garland, he wrestled with this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And yet for a brief moment in time, I think it was last Thursday, we were told it's nuclear secrets. And then there was the press hyperventilating about that all the next 24 hours or so. But then you see the reports of him waiting and wondering when we should make this strike. Well, if it's nuclear weapons, Seems like you'd hop on it a little bit quicker. Why did it take 18 months? Here's one of the commentators. Again, he's part of one of the impeachment hoaxes. Colonel Vindman, this is what he said on MSNBC yesterday, clip 8.
It's hard to fathom the kind of risks that were in there. You know, we're talking about where our nuclear stockpile might be, how effective it is. And this guy keeps it with him because he thinks it's cool. Oh, look, I've got like a box full of nuclear secrets out there that I could just peer into because it's fun. That's his callousness with regards to national security.
Do you worry he could share those secrets with other countries?
I think that is a very legitimate concern.
And you'll notice in that clip, there's nothing of substance. It's hard to fathom what could have been. It's like the Jim Comey reasoning. Well, it's possible that something bad really could have happened. It's possible that the documents could be the nuclear codes. And so, here he's just kind of hanging on to it because he thinks it's cool. This is his assessment of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's holding on to these nuclear secrets because he thinks it's cool. This was at the Daily Beast. I think they were quoting James Carville, another Democratic activist. You ask, why did Trump want all these documents? And the answer is the most logical reason. He was going to sell them. He said all of the, we could use the same language the left loves to use. He said, without citing any evidence, that Donald Trump was actually going to sell the nuclear secrets. Anything. They're willing to say anything, to do anything, to maintain their grip on power. My father writes in Great Again. Let me just back up. We're going to be playing more clips from this speech. It's from October of 2016, when all of the fake kidnapping and all that, the FBI setup was going on, the Hunter Biden laptop was coming out, and they were accusing Donald Trump of all of these adulterous affairs and so on and so forth. And at that time, Mr. Trump gave a speech in West Palm Beach, Florida. This is from October 13, 2016. And listen to what he had to say, clip 9.
This is our moment of reckoning as a society and as a civilization itself. I didn't need to do this, folks, believe me. Believe me. I built a great company and I had a wonderful life. I could have enjoyed the fruits and benefit of years of successful business deals and businesses for myself and my family, instead of going through this absolute horror show of lies, deceptions, malicious attacks. Who would have thought? I'm doing it because this country has given me so much, and I feel so strongly that it's my turn to give back to the country that I love.
Pretty refreshing to hear a campaign, a message, or a platform such as that. That was 3-4 weeks before he shocked the world and won against Hillary Clinton in a free and fair election. That was in 2016. And he talked about, we've made this point recently, but he talked about some of the sacrifices he made. Forbes, we saw this just recently, Forbes estimated in 2016 that Donald Trump was worth $4.5 billion. That's 2016 when he's campaigning for president the first time. $4.5 billion. Forbes estimated that in 2020, that would be the last year of his first term, Donald Trump's fortune, it was worth $2.1 billion. So he actually lost about half of his fortune during those 4 years of nonstop investigations, impeachments, and a pretty successful term in office, we can add. But he lost billions. And it leads me to wonder, has any politician, I don't know, how could you research all of this, but has any politician actually gone to Washington in the modern era and lost money and actually lost some of his fortune? He was a wealthy man. I'm sure he's not complaining in a in a sense. I mean, you look at his Mar-a-Lago estate, and it's a beautiful place. He's still a billionaire. But quite unlike all of these other communists who are attacking him, Liz Cheney, it took her 5 years, just as a lowly congresswoman, to go from 7 million to 14 million. She was well on her way to Nancy Pelosi status or Joe Biden. Just imagine if she's in office for 30, 35 years. Well, you know what would happen. 30 years from now, she'd be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And how does that happen when you're only making $170,000 per year? That's about the congressional salary that you get. Nancy Pelosi's worth $200 million. No investigations, nothing. Hunter Biden, the Biden crime family, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Barack Obama is worth $500 million, has never come under investigation for anything. Can you believe it? Donald Trump's the one exception. He goes off to Washington, D.C., and it actually hurts his financial standing because he's just come under attack from every direction. In Great Again, my father says here, those who fail to see the devil behind what is happening in America today will end up being his victims. It says, let me warn you again not to forget Revelation 12, 7 to 12. Satan and millions of his demons have been cast down from a war in heaven. They're now confined to this earth. Their time is short because of Christ's imminent return, and they are full of their worst wrath ever. My father says, you see evidence of that wrath in this violent world full of treacherous deceit. It's just full of sin, of treachery, of deceit, backstabbing, treasonous activity, criminal behavior, drugs, prostitution, crime. There is a real spirit world. These quotes I'm giving to you, by the way, they come out of Great Again. I don't have a copy here with me, but to get our literature, again, the toll-free number, if you're in the U.S. and Canada, it's 1-866-930-3024. You see the devil's fingerprints on all of this sick and diseased cancer that just spreads. You see why Donald Trump poses such a significant threat to their movement, their communist infiltration. It says here, America is being attacked from within and without. There are failures everywhere, economically. I mean, this was, again, tomorrow's news today. This was from a few years ago. The failures are everywhere, economically, culturally, politically, militarily, and morally. Anyone who says there isn't a real problem here needs to open his eyes. We need to see what is happening to our nation. We need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. You know, besides the fact that the Trump, you know, America First movement is popular, the results of last night's election in Wyoming, it also shows that there's a lot of Americans who are deeply disturbed by the direction of the country. This was not a slim victory for Hageman. It was overwhelming. And this after Liz Cheney won overwhelmingly just 2 years ago. What does that say about what's happening in the United States? Just in the last 24 months. My father says here, the radical left is not our big problem. Ultimately, this isn't about a man or an administration. It's about an evil spirit being who is working to destroy this nation. And about why God is allowing it to happen. It says God is not blessing America. Here again, call our operators today and order your free copy of Great Again. One of the points that my father makes in that book is that, you know, to his credit, one thing that Donald Trump does really well is he sees a lot of the evil. He can see the problems quite well in some cases. Listen again to that speech from October of 2016. This is clip 10.
In my former life, I was an insider as much as anybody else. And I knew what it's like, and I still know what it's like to be an insider. It's not bad. It's not bad. Now I'm being punished for leaving the special club and revealing to you the terrible things that are going on having to do with our country. Because I used to be part of the club, I'm the only one that can fix it. The corrupt establishment knows that we are a great threat to their criminal enterprise. They know that if we win, their power is gone and it's returned to you, the people. Will be. The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide our future.
Now you compare it with the people, what they did last night in Wyoming, and then the message that Joe Scarborough has, the media, the message coming from the media. These people actually think that they can replace America's government. That's an insurrection. No, that's voting them out of office if you don't like their policies. If you don't like the fact that they're attacking a former president of the United States. If you don't like the fact that they're not doing anything about the wide open border or runaway inflation or the escalating costs for fuel and food or crime in our cities. Or all of these perversions that are just open and on display. We declare our sin as Sodom, it says in Isaiah. More and more people see the problems because this man has been exposing them. And isn't it interesting that he had never even been he had never been a politician when he gave that speech, but he says to that audience in West Palm Beach, he says, "I was an insider. I know how this corrupt system works. I've seen it up close. This is a criminal enterprise. This deep state, this administrative state, this swamp, whatever you want to call it. All of this criminal activity." And earlier on, we'll play more clips from this speech perhaps later this week. But earlier on in that speech at West Palm Beach, he said that there's trillions of dollars at stake. So there trillions. He was talking about all of the nations even that had an interest in just keeping the status quo going with the uniparty and the establishment in firm control and the administrative state, you know, making the decisions basically, Jeb Bush on this side and Hillary Clinton on this side. It makes perfect sense. Either one. I mean, it can bounce back and forth. Clinton, Bush. And then Donald Trump comes along, and he saw it up close. Whether or not he was a flaming liberal back in the day, he certainly was. He was cozy to the Democrats. He said before he had to be, just to get some of his real estate projects done, just to win favor from some of these corrupt politicians, so that he could build his buildings. What a system! This is not God's civilization. This is not God's world. This is not God's nation. It's an Israelite nation, and certainly it factors into a lot of prophecies, as you hear on this program regularly. But the corruption, the filth, the lawlessness, the criminal activity, it's all being exposed. And like my father says in Great Again, one thing that President Trump does really well is he sees the evil, and he exposes it. He said in that speech in 2016, "I represent an existential threat to these people, and so they're going to do anything they can to destroy me." He knew. Now, he did it. He also said, "I didn't realize how evil or how far they were willing to go." But he certainly learned that now. Look, his house, he's out of office. His house just got raided by these FBI agents that were connected to all these other corrupt attacks. as I pointed out on yesterday's show. It's the same people. It's like whack-a-mole. You can't get rid of them. They just keep popping back up. The same usual suspects. And if they are out of government, well, they're the talking heads now. Peter Strzok telling you how reliable, how dependable the FBI is, and how it's above reproach. I mean, really, squeaky clean. Chris Wray says, not even an appearance of evil. Well, tell that to the jury in Michigan that has said, no, these guys, they're not guilty. They were entrapped by the FBI. The FBI that concocted this plot to kidnap a sitting governor of a state in America and to murder her. And they were doling out tens of thousands of dollars to keep this operation afloat, even when it was breaking apart, because these patriots were saying, look, we just want to get back to the Constitution. We're not here to kidnap anybody. These are the law-abiding citizens that the FBI wanted to throw away into prison for forever. Just like the grandma with cancer who is in prison right now because she made the mistake of setting foot into the Capitol for 10 minutes. One last quote from that 2016 speech. This is Donald Trump, clip 11.
I will not lie to you. These false attacks are absolutely hurtful. To be lied about, to be slandered, to be smeared so publicly and before your family that you love is very painful. What is going on is egregious beyond any words. It's reprehensible beyond description. It's totally corrupt. But I also know that it's not about me. It's about all of you, and it's about our country.
Said that before he even got into office. And look, now you look back on that in hindsight. You know, that was almost 6 years ago. He had some accurate insights into the swamp and what their goal, what their objective was, and who the real target was. It was the American people. Again, look at that montage at the top of the show with Scarborough. I talked to a Washington insider, a conservative, who said to me, Joe, they can replace, the American people can replace their government. And then Joe says, that's the cancer that's spreading. That's the kind of cancer that spreads. And it's because of Donald Trump. And we saw it on January 6th, these anti-democratic forces. And so obviously this is what's on display in Wyoming last night. It's not democracy. It's not democracy destroying Liz Cheney. It's anti-democratic forces. Liz Cheney, I mean, that audition last night, and then she was out auditioning again this morning. She's going to be getting a pretty posh position at MSNBC or CNN. To continue her attack, same with Kinzinger, the one who predicted that Donald Trump would be gone in 5 years and people would be embarrassed that they ever supported him. Now they're gone. Eight of the ten Republicans who impeached Donald Trump have drowned in the red wave. 8 of 10. Look at how fast it's happened in just 2 years, as I say. 2 years ago, she's pulling in 73% of the vote. This year, she can't even get 30%. That's what democracy thinks of Liz Cheney and her ilk. That's what democracy thinks of these communist networks. You can see it in the ratings. It's a war, isn't it? You see the two sides clearly. And you certainly, again, as my father said in grading, and if you have eyes to see and you know there's a spirit world behind it, then you know what's coming. You know there's an explosion that's coming. We've got to get ourselves emotionally prepared for that reality. I gave you that quote. I think I took it out of my notes by this point, but it's from I believe, America Under Attack. Because of that warring scripture in 2 Kings 14 And then what we know about Ezekiel 4 as well. I mean, some sobering prophecies, to be sure. One last quote here from Great again. It says, America's problems are a direct result of America's sins. It's a direct result, you see. Further on, it says, this is not God's world. There's a lot of evil in this world. It's full of tigers waiting to tear people apart. It has always been that way. As Winston Churchill said, the history of man is the history of war, yet somehow we can't come to grips with that today. He says, finally, are you willing to face reality? Most people are not. Think about some of the scriptures that we bring to your mind routinely on this show. The fact that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He's the god of this world. He's deceived the whole world. And he's attacking this nation. And God's allowing it because God says we're under curses for our disobedience, for our sin. If you open your eyes to the truth, though, and see what's behind it all, I mean, it really can actually strengthen your faith. It's like that viewer that sent in the email. I think I read it yesterday or earlier this week. The one that said he just feels so bad for those that are watching what's happening to this nation, this once great nation, and not knowing why or how that this could happen. And only having basically that, well, it's that party's fault. If we can just do away with them, it'll fix everything. I think there's more and more Americans that are now saying, boy, I don't know if these problems are even fixable. God's trying to wake our people up. And even when Donald Trump comes back, there still isn't going to be much time left before the return of Jesus Christ. Now is the time to act on these prophecies, to call our operators, as I say, 1-866-930-3024. Request your copy of Great Again, the America Under Attack booklet, by the way. It's moving through the printer now, finally, after the delays for paper and such. And so hopefully we'll have some good news to report. I'm not sure how the shipment, how long that will take, but hopefully that will come through smoothly, and we'll have some good news to report on that front in just a couple days' time. We'll certainly keep you posted. What do we have? About a minute, a couple of emails here before we conclude. It says, greetings, Mr. Fleury and crew. Great coverage of the raid at Mar-a-Lago. I just wonder if this is the catalyst that's going to launch the nation into civil war. It's getting hard to watch these communists talk about democracy and then do things like this. That's what's amazing, isn't it? They talk about democracy. They talk about saving democracy. What's democratic about 40 FBI agents showing up and just ransacking the place, even running off with the passports? And all these privileged communications between Donald Trump and his attorneys. It says, I see these signs around my neighborhood that read, stop Trumpism, save democracy. I just laugh at the irony of it all. Satan has really hijacked their thinking. It says, God bless you all. And another one here, it says, thank you for opening up with the comedy bit of the real president of the United States. I wish there was, I'm not sure which one this refers to. It says, I wish there was a time to watch the entire skit. What is truly sad, however, is the total absence of truth or even the desire for truth in the ones trying to pass off this lie as truth. It says, oh, how desperately we as a people need God's government. May we hasten our efforts to hasten Jesus Christ's return. Well, that's a good place to leave off. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We're certainly grateful that you joined us for today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.